Now we open the word to the 34th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. I want to compliment the young people. They've been mighty fine. I have been places where the young people get served during services, and I'm so glad that you have some young ladies and gentlemen here who do not let you have a knockdown and drag out. Now, the best I've been able to find the mind of the Lord, I want to start a line of truth from the book tonight and continue in the same, on the same line through Friday night. Now, in a Bible conference, the preacher has to see if he could be of help to two or three, because this is a day of men healers. Nobody must interest in what God has to say, but we go to hear what a man has to say. And people get in on a preacher, and they like him, they may come back unless there's something else to go do if they don't or won't. Now, I don't have any time for those people. They're going to hell anyhow, and I haven't got no time to fool with them. But I am interested either in an evangelistic campaign, in preaching to a man, you know, of a lost sinner, sit under the gospel, the law and the gospel for a couple of weeks, it might be. But you can't ever get to the place where you can say what God will do, but it might be that God might bring him to see himself as he is. The preacher that tells you that if you do something, God will do something blind to you. Mercy is optional, you see. Now, God must do right, he may show mercy. Isn't that right? God must do right, he may show mercy. The preacher says you walk down the aisle and do so-and-so, God will save his line to you. The preacher says get down on your knees and ask God to save and heal you, he's lying to you. He's an enemy of your soul. God's preacher will save, God may show mercy to you. That's as far as we can go. Isn't that right? As far as we can go. But now I'm going through tonight, through Friday night, beyond one thought. That's this thought, that God saves lost people. God's in the business of saving lost people. And it takes at least four nights for that to work. I don't know whether you can get that or not. That comes under the head of your business. Some of you thought to drop out and go to the place where you assemble tomorrow night for what's called family, where there ain't no praying going on. But that comes under the head of your business. Most of you are going to go to hell being lawyers to program what you call your church. But I always, sometimes when I, at the time, I travel 1,000 miles. And this is a man who knows something about the Bible, teach me. And you could well afford, many of you people claim to say that butcher every unsaved person you come in contact with, you could well afford to hear these four Bible messages on this subject, God saved lost people. Lost people. It seems to know it's raining tonight, isn't it? Tomorrow night's going to rain the wind tonight. Then Thursday and Friday, the Lord willing, I want us to pursue this stuff. You young people got your Bible. Where are your Bibles? Have you been preaching to you and get into your Bible? That's wonderful. Oh, what bitterness was. Now, I'm not trying to be contrary, but every preacher has a difference, see? And I'm just another preacher. And you spell my name Barnard, B-A-R-N-E-R-D, not God. You best got to find out what God says. If I know it, my heart, I wouldn't preach untrue. But I would not stand up here and tell you what I preach is so. All I can do is say I believe it is. Because I'm not God. See? And I tell you right now, you better not believe something called Brother Bill Pickle says it's so. Or Brother Barnes, anybody else. You know, for 27 years, I've been a hitchhiker evangelist, preaching in for pastors and people that don't believe what I say. And we have lots of fun. And I was under a little assembly in South Station about 2-3 nights. I watched the poor people. And I watched them sit down and listen to me in 1 hour looking at the pastor. They don't know whether I'm preaching the truth or not, and they watch and see his reaction. If they like him, if he likes the preaching, they like it. If they don't like the pastor, if he don't like it, they like it. If it's whatever, just say they like it. They don't know if so or not. Most of them got a Bible, but they ain't never opened it yet. The Lord said, search the scriptures, but you told him you didn't have time. The Lord said, my word shall judge you, but you think he's just playing mumble faith. He meant business. His word, not Ross Barnes, but his, gonna judge you. You better find out his word. And you're not a Catholic, are you? I feel so sorry for the Catholic priest. And I was a chaplain in the last war, a Catholic priest that had to decide which picture show the boys to go to. And they put up on the chapel, you know, every week, the picture shows that was on the base and nearby towns that were all right for Catholics to go to, you know. Now, I just felt the sorrow of it. Fellow came up to me in Oklahoma one time and he said, you're trying to get me straightened out on something I preach. And I asked him, I said, well, what do you do about such and such? And he said, I don't know, but I said, I'll write headquarters and find out. We need to get to where we believe something. Not so Brother Jones said he believed it, but because God told it to us. And I wish that we could get to where, in spite of the preaching of this generation, have we find out that the Bible teaches anything this side of heaven, it is that God Almighty saves whom He wills to save. I was down in Natchez, Mississippi years ago, and a very young preacher, if I'm saying this, I mentioned his name, you know what I'm talking about. He went back and told his college president what a terrible thought I had, leaving the singing for him. Because one night he was talking to him before he went to the tent, and he said, now tonight I want to sing such and such and such and such a song. He mentioned one, and I said, I wish you wouldn't sing that. He said, why not? I said, well, that song's rotten. It's not true to the gospel. Well, he said, I like it. I said, well, I don't. Well, he said, I'm picking out the song. I said, yes, I just made one request. If you sing that song, people have got in the sense to say that song will put you on line. I heard a song to say today, let Jesus come into your heart. Now, whether you pour 2 quarts of corn whiskey and 3 migraines of cocaine and dope down my daughter, than to let her have to endure being in a place that calls the Pepper Baptist Church that'll sing a rotten song like that. Now that isn't blasphemous, I'll choose up and take that. Let Jesus come into your heart. Poor little Jesus. He's standing on the outside of Big You. And he can't make a move until Big You decides he can make it, isn't that all? And yet that's what you call the gospel. Some of you down on folks to drink whiskey. I'd rather get drunk wallowing in the drunken grave and live in a house of prostitution 6 days a week and come to the house of the Lord on Sunday morning with the near my time is to engage in a practice that would let any unsaved sinner this side of hell even so much as imagine that he could let the Lord do anything. What I'm trying to do is to preach a big God and a little sinner. Now I want us to spend 4 nights on the truth that God is sovereign and that He's in the business of saving whom He will. He picks out the ones who are saved. You insist that you ought to have the right to vote for who you want to represent you as President of the United States, don't you? Okay? And you men who married, you fight for the right to pick out a bride. of your life's companion. Over in North Carolina, they just have them jumping fish now about the autonomy of the local church. Wonder if any of you read about that trial they had over there when they awarded the property of a local church to the minority for the first time in history that appearances in court. And so they just a hooping and hauling over there about they ought not have done that. And everybody's talking about the fact that this little local church right here is a sovereign body. Well, that's good preaching, but just ain't so. This church is not a sovereign body. It's under the rule and authority of the sovereign Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This church hasn't got a right to make nary single move until it waits before God in prayer until unanimously every member of it has the same mind from God. These infernal business meetings where we decide God's business by a political vote was born in hell. We have robbed God. We won't even let him run the church. We have not. Isn't it amazing that you talk about a sovereign like Queen Elizabeth of England? Well, God said, well, if England's going to have a king, that's what he did. He's sovereign. And the sovereign state of Mississippi been there and give you about that on this segregation day, And the sovereign local church. And they want the state to be sovereign and the governor to be sovereign and the queen to be sovereign and the church to be sovereign, but we're not willing for God to be sovereign. I'm betting my life, dear ones, that the reason that nobody under conviction of their need of being saved by the blood born of the Spirit, and the reason you folks keep that little old parish and stuff about we want to have a revival, it's just a million miles away from the Scripture. A million miles, all it's about praying for revival is of the devil and not of the Bible. Now, you think that's true? Now, you listen to Ralph Barnes. I take it you come together. Don't ask you to believe what I say. I just want you to listen to it and then you can chew it like an old cow chews its cud. Spit it out if you want. But the reason what we call churches now have to have a little spurt once in a while and get all revived up is because the churches are full of people that don't know the Lord. Because a fellow that knows the Lord don't need revival. He's got one going on his heart all the time. And we're just trying to get the unsaved church members to act a little better, you know. And they usually do. They rededicate themselves, usually last week or two. And we get some people to quit some of their bad habits, and we put them under the water and say they're saved. And they're saved till they will have to catch it up with them again. And they go back in the world. We call them backsliders. In spite of the fact the word backslider just appeared in the entire Bible one time, and that time in the Old Testament, that time talking about unsaved people, we build us a whole doctrine of backsliding to make comfortable the unsaved members of our churches that we're trying to get revived. That's right. And you know what's the matter? It's because for two generations, we have dishonored God and put him down in the dust and elevated man on the throne. And now the whole kit and caboodle of what we call Christianity is an effort to comb the hair of men in the right way and sprinkle rose water on to make them smell a little better and let them go on bail. And I'm going up and down America screaming and crying and thank God we're beginning to get a hearing and young preachers are beginning to see some truth and bless God, the Lord's beginning to bless. And I'm saying that it's high time that we quit calling ourselves Christians and quit calling ourselves Christian churches until we elevate one more time by the acclamation of our own hearts. Almighty God, put him back on the throne where he's been all the time. He's been with him, nobody except ourselves. This generation needs to be told over and over again that it's not a question of what they'll do with Jesus. It's a question of what the Lord's going to do with them. 8 years ago, I went down to this church in Kentucky. And after the meeting, the pastor got up and asked the church to forgive him if it would, but I didn't know the gospel. I learned what the gospel is in the meeting. From now on out, we're going to preach the gospel. The best God can teach it to us. Depend on the Holy Spirit. We're going to throw all of our soul in clubs and all of this junk about winning people to Christ out the wind and all the personal workers. We're going to kill them off. It wasn't bad enough, Chief, without all of you personal workers getting out and butchering them up, you know. And so we're going to turn the soul in business back to the Holy Spirit where it's been all the time, you know. We just thought he wasn't doing a good job out there with, so we hit them out. And you know, you can win so many more people in the Holy Spirit. Of course, the ones you win go on to hell, and the ones he win get to heaven. But you get them on the name of the church and get a big record, you know. Why, you go out there and win 15 colored people to Christ till midnight tonight using the message that we're taught to use. All you got to do is just believe some verse of scripture and get down on your knees and tell God you're sorry for your sin and ask him to forgive you and you'll feel a little better. Yeah, like you had a dram of whiskey. That's the same thing. And then when you get that feeling goes off, and you go back to church and roll up your feet and let the preacher give you a little hypodermic and that'll make you feel better than something. And this preacher and his assistant pastor, the Monday night after the meeting, they got all the sermon notes, Brother Palmer, and sat for an open fireplace and burned them up. That's the best thing that happened for all the preacher's sermons that burned up between now and tomorrow night. Ain't no count. And the young assistant pastor, I like he hadn't said it. He had one sermon, Brother Wolf, I'm sure you got one like it, I used to have. On the text that Pilate asked of the Jews, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? And this young preacher had a sermon on it, and he borrowed it from somebody else, and he said, now you've got to do something with Jesus. I don't know why, I know that you never met him. I don't know what I've got to do in this eyes and how I right now. I'm pretty good a long way from. I don't know where that business about the sinner's got to accept or reject Christ. Sorry, the sinner never been, never met him, you know. Christ never been revealed to him. We don't know one fool thing about him. How you can reject somebody you don't know, I never have been able to understand, you see. And how you can accept something you know nothing about, I've never been able to understand. But hey, this preacher, he has sermon, and I can't be neutral. Says you've got to accept him or reject him. Well, if you take it from the earth, just think so. Just think so! Or if the preachers who had preached that area and got more people and you count on a stick to walk an aisle and go through the motions and call it salvation, had had time to read the very next verse, they would have heard the Son of God say to Pilate, thou couldst do nothing with me except the Father gave you power. Turn the tables on Pilate, said Pilate. You couldn't do a thing with me. Let the Father give you power. Oh, this generation has been taught that here is Jesus and it's up to you to take him or reject him, and they say it ain't quite ready right now and I'll get around to it when I please. This generation needs to have the privilege, and I cry about this, of hearing somebody that God called to preach, not just preach, but preach the truth, and let this generation of boys and girls and men and women in faith and faith. Not a question of what you're going to do with Jesus. A question of what he's going to do with you. But he says he's going to be there. With this death that John, my Lord, says as the Father quickeneth whom he will, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. But if you get it, oh, my soul. You mean tell me you made a decision to accept Christ and you're saved? I won't save anybody. Because you can't accept Christ. That's an impossibility to you. You better listen to me. You better listen to me. My God is not subject to your decision. You are subject to His. Whether you are sent to hell or heaven is determined by whether or not God Almighty saves you or passes you by. My God has to do something with every human being, either God's going to save you or pass you by and send you there. You'll be one of those. God bless your heart. You're just as helpless to keep him from sending you to hell as you're helpless to get him to save you. You're in his hands. That kind of preaching is what Baptists used to put. That's right. I make no apologies for it. I throw up churches all over this country. And if I get into more, I'm going to tear them up. I'll tear them up preaching what they put down in their confessions of faith, they believe. I'll tear them up preaching the truth. If God Almighty is in the business of showing mercy to whom he will, and being gracious to whom he will. And I'll check you up, brother. And if I can rob you of going to hell because you think you're saved, because you did something, when I meet you in heaven, you'll say, thank you, brother, for telling me the truth. Thank you. Because if you think you're saved because of some decision you made, or some prayer you made, or some feeling you have, you are lost, brother. You are lost. You are lost. Salvation is what God does for you, not what you do for him. Salvation's God Almighty taking an old raw bone tail down, fat, shooting woman, chasing, negative, doing everything you were, big cold, playing, fat, shooting. I wonder if you was going to hell because you just passed the bank, cold, you was going to hell because in Adam, you climbed up on God's throne, sitting there, taking stolen, you run things from my home. And God Almighty has to take an old devil like you and to save you. My soul, that's what salvation is. God saves whom he will. The most solemn thought any human being will ever face sits back there, you youngster, in the corner, one of God's going to save you, or pass you by and let you go to hell. Now, maybe one of God's going to save you, or pass you by, and send you to hell. Mister, you reckon God's going to show mercy to you, or pass you by? Don't you wonder? All God says you can do is to say, oh God, you got a right to do with me as you please. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's all you do. That's all on God. These preachers told you if you walk down there and confess Jesus, he'll save your life to you. They didn't tell you the truth. There ain't a thing on God's earth you can do except look and say, oh God, why on earth thou art calling? Do not pass me. In the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, now, to give you just a little outline of what I'm talking about for 4 nights, this is important. In the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, what I tried to say to you is stated, God saves whom he will. And in the 16th verse of Ezekiel chapter 16, God says, I want you to follow. Now, I've got you to open that, because if you don't have it open, you'll swear I'm not reading out of the Bible, but I want you to see what God says. Ezekiel 34:16, God says, I will seek that which was L-O-S-T lost. I like that, don't you? And bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong, and will feed them with judgment. Now God's going to do one, two things to you. He's going to seek you and save you, or he's going to destroy you. You're in his hands. Now if you don't like that, you can roll up your sleeves, sit on your hands, start to put that out of business if you want to. A lot of folks trying to do it. But that's it. You don't like that, you can take you a bunch of scissors and cut out that verse. 34th chapter of Ezekiel, verse 16. Now don't talk to Brother Barnett. I didn't like the Bible, but there we have the solemn statement that God's going to seek some people, and he's going to destroy others. And the same God
It says, I will teach that which will pass, but I will destroy the fat and the straw. God deals with men upon the attitudes and in reference to that attitude. There's a fellow that says, and sick and helpless. God seeks it. There's a fellow that says, oh, you understand how I want it? You'll destroy.
See how that same truth is given us in the New Testament in the 19th chapter of Luke. Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 19, and we'll read verse 10, and then we'll look at verse 10 just a moment. Now, Lord, I hope you'll stay ready. You don't have to if you don't want to. You don't have to come back. That's between you and the Lord. I'm there to help, but I'm not there to give holy things to dogs. I'm not there to cast the pearls before swine. Wouldn't waste 5 seconds of my time on anybody that's not interested enough in your soul to see this thing through. Well, you better roll up your sleeves and say, I don't want to go to hell. I want God to save me. And maybe if you did that about 40 years and listened to the truth and cried to God about 10 hours a day, it might be about 40 years from now God might save you. I don't know. It'd be worthwhile. I don't know that he will, but he might. Mercy is optional. He shows mercy to whom he will. Try it, look. And in Luke 19 and 10, my Lord says, stop! Stop! Immediately, before we read the rest of the text, we're prepared to understand that when we read it, we're going to have to go back to some verses before it. Because this verse starts with an explanation of what's gone before. He said, I talk like I have the cause. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I wouldn't think anything of that, would you? My Lord said, it's bound to show. I hope I'm fine out what he means by it. Now let's look at that verse just a little bit. Let me read it like it's preached today. My Lord says, for the Son of Man come to make salvation available to everybody. I heard a preacher say that today. So the Lord came and died to make salvation available to everybody. That's what he said, that's what he came seeking to save. And they read it like it's preached. For the Son of Man has come to make an effort to seek him to save everybody. I am somebody, wouldn't you let me? He said, he just finds the heart, and he can't do it unless you let him. Poor little Jesus. Little bit of things. Little Jesus, that little, I don't do that too much good to let him in. Don't think he can take care of you today. If he's so little, he got to wait for you to let him do something. Isn't that blasphemous? But don't get mad at you. A lot of you been raised on that rock. You're going to go to hell if you don't throw it out and get the truth. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Whatever that word lost means, everybody's lost like that verse means, is going to be saved. Our Lord didn't come down here to make an effort to do something, came down here to do something. Now let's see what that verse says to me. It can possibly mean only a three things. May mean one of three things. I'll give it to him. You can take the card. Let's say it means that some people weren't lost and didn't need to be saved. Well, whatever this verse means, everybody that's lost won't be saved. He came to seek lost people. And to do what? Make it possible for them to be saved? No. He came to what? The thing that I have seen, he has made it possible for us to be redeemed. It says he are redeemed. It says he has redeemed us. He didn't make an effort to do it. He did. Do you see it? Everybody's lost. Like this word lost means only saved, can't they? Boy, we find you get into that game, don't you? It's because the Lord said, yeah. Now, we can't accept that interpretation that for some people that weren't lost and didn't need to be saved because the Bible teaches that all have sinned, some shall the glory of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 said that our gospel be hid, it's hid to them who are lost, and that's in somebody else's life. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the word lost means one thing, in the verse, in the 10th chapter, 10th verse of the 19th chapter, Luke means another. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the word lost has described every human being. In the 10th verse of the 19th chapter of Luke, the same word lost describes just some human being. Well, let's see. What does this text mean? Father, the Son of Man comes to seek and save that which was lost. I wonder if somebody in these folks back there in the little Sunday school room. One of them y'all are lost. You know, most people are not lost. They're exactly where they ought to be in their sins, and God's going to leave them there in sin and death. They ain't lost. Adam and all those sheep, those don't get lost, do they? Do they?
No.
Now, sheep get lost.
Yeah.
Huh? Goats don't get lost. Sheep do.
It may be if you ain't lost. I expect you exactly where you ought to be, and God don't leave you there, and send you to hell when you die.
But if you want God's sheep, that He gave His Son for the devil of stuff. And the Son said, I'll go down there and redeem them. Not try to, but redeem them. I'll go down there and suffer in their room and stay. I'll go down there and purchase repentance and payment for them. I'll go down there and save them. But you still haven't been found yet, brother Wolf. The scripture says He came down here to seek and save. That was the law. And brother, I'm telling you, that's the fact. Whatever He came down here to do, He's going to do.
He's going to do it. Praise God.
Well, this verse of scripture can mean one other thing. This is what it actually means. It doesn't mean that some people don't need to be saved. It doesn't mean that Christ came down here and He's a savior. Because if Christ came down here to seek and to save everybody, He sure has made a mess out of them. How many of you believe that He saved everybody up tonight? You believe that? You believe that word? That said He came down here not to try. He came down here to seek and not to make an effort, but to do what? S-A-D-E saved. Somebody said, He has this law of faith. He said He came down here to save them, didn't He? You believe He saved it? That don't mean everybody then that Christ is a savior. That's it. Why, did you know what the call of the gospel now is that Christ died in the same sense that everybody needs to get time to get saved, everybody will say, won't get it. But the gospel is that King died and died for the people God saved. And you don't say they're one. And if you're one of those, you ever hear that, you'll get to use the death of Christ. And you ain't going to make you mad at hell, it's going to hell, amen. I don't want to hear you that. You know that? I'm right there, one. You got to believe that? Your daddy did. And so will your daddy believe,
you know? Now here's what that verse scripture means. I started my message tonight. And if some of you just feel in the poor night, so try to help you. And some of you folks, if God could be pleased to get you lost,
yes, God, I got good news. Christ saves lost people.
Amen. Christ saves lost people.
Praise God.
I tell you what that verse means. It means this. It's present in its context. The Lord Jesus Christ going down the road, and the great crowd of Baptists and Methodists following him, you know. Some of them were picking up a six-foot with the system, and some of them were counting the money, and somebody was planning the next tea party, and somebody was planning the next revival meeting, and one of them was pressing the other secretary of some groom was trying to get unsaved guest members to spell that. And there's just a walking along with Jesus. And as well as all in back here, so now he high in the he couldn't see Jesus coming for sure. But it's the pain of the day. He ran a hitch climbed up the sycamore tree, and the scripture says, when the Lord came to, he said,
there was a fellow that wanted to see him. He can't that. Yeah, he's been up in this place for the mission that I'm standing aboard these walls and they're all going to be in
there.
But here's the fellow that's on the
seat. And he
looked up and said that he has come back. I'm
going to
be sitting
ready tonight. Oh, that is. With all the hearts, all of that too,
maybe
he came back.
And then he said, Lord, I've been around here robbing the folks and said, I'm going to take back everything I got people and then I'm going to give the rest of it to folks. Yeah, yes, you see. I don't know how people got saved, but they don't say that old verse they will. You understand? Restitution. Restitution is the part of the gospel. Well, that is, he said, for now, and the cannonball deacons and the priests and the ladies fixed their side and the leader of the choir, they began to grumble. And they said, he ought not to associate with that fellow that he if he would have been with us. They murmured at him. Because he went to be the guest of a man who was a sinner. You know what they did? And murmuring to the Lord never had a kind word to unsay your religion. He said, I'm all right. He put his arms around the poor scarlet woman and saved her. He saved the woman been married 5 times, living in open book. He saved the woman taking the very act of the death and never said a word to her except woman. That sin be forgiven. So when you meet one of these sophisticated Christians, you look them in the eye and say, your great granddaddy was a snake and you were a snake and you're white on the outside and got your tail on the inside and nobody be warning you to flee from the wrath to come. And he turned to that gang you murmured because he did business with a seeking sinner by the name of Zacchaeus and said, I didn't mean I would do anything for you folks. I came down here to see the same people like old Zacchaeus lost. Oh, if God ever gets you lost, you sure be glad when the gospel comes and tells you that Christ is actually saved, actually redeemed by his own precious blood, all his lost people. Did you know that my Lord didn't come down here and die so he could have the people? He came down here and died so he had the people. God gave him a people who was ever a star. And the Lord came down here and died for his own people. And well, look, he said, having loved his own, he loved. And you talk about which crowd you left me in, I left you in this crowd. But the Lord is just giving him this thing, wouldn't it? That gang he came to seek and say, I left you already, you do. You can have your big car and the big plantations and everything you want. But if you just let old Ralph, he had nothing to do about it. Say about it. He had his thoughts made. He said, oh, I left you in this one. Well, that's young. That's the car I want to join. If I was just getting it. I got some good news. Oh, I don't know if they make some of you mad if you're a goat. But it was the sheep there that my Lord hadn't saved again. It's going to be awful good. Not only did my God save lost people, my God gets his people lost. Easy business of making his people get lost. Oh, Lord! You're get lost, baby. The Lord promised you come lost. Huh? He had to do it. Huh? Wasn't it good while you was all right, thank you? I was 21 years old before the Lord got me lost. I knew that first step in the back. I'm glad he finally got around to it. But I was about to 30 years. So as far as that's all,
got me so long, praise God. And I said, what's that when he saved me? It just took me from there to the death when he saved me. I thought he did all the night by me. I thought he might not have done it. But oh, I tell you, if the Lord ever sees it, he'll be after he's got this plumb lost. And if he ever gets plumb lost, he'll be all anxious to get found. Most unsaved church members are up there like the devil to keep from getting saved, and most of them will be successful. But when a fella gets plumb lost, he'll fight nobody. When a fella comes around here, no fella down, he comes in down, fight. He's going to be tired. He's clever at it. He ain't seen the disciples that come around here. Isn't that good? Oh, that's you, Father. God Almighty is in the business, using the means he appointed before his ever started to get his people on. I want to talk to you just briefly now, and then we'll take it up again tomorrow night if you're here. Then we'll take it up again the Lord with you. But I want to show you just a little bit about how my God goes about getting one of his own. Well, we'll really take it for granted you can take it. I mean, that's not that from you in the Lord. I've seen people, we've got more evidence than you do that they're taking it out of the tail. I don't think it's sense that proof. That's from you in the Lord. You ain't interested. A lot of folks, they say, I know I'm saved because I used to get drunk, I don't now. Well, I don't know about that. The average self-respecting jackass never did get drunk to start with. You just about got as decent as a jackass. And that's just about the same evidence that you were saying. And they'll say, well, I used to have the tobacco habit, and the Lord took away from me. You're a big old double barrel liar. Didn't do no such thing. Now, the thing on God's earth to do is, he ain't in the business of straightening up people's habits. He's in the business of giving people new hearts. He can come down here to get you to quit sucking cigarettes and drinking whiskey, and the fact you used to do it now don't, not the slightest effort of your child's God. Most of you just a bunch of big old fairies, so you think you're going to get to heaven because you quit some of your dirty filthy habits. You better listen to Ralph Brown. God gets his people lost. His people lost. His old world. My soul, you dirty outfit and driving it even in your daddy at heaven. The scripture says you rebelled against God and lost all ability to do good. And when you're born, not when you're created, you're created now, but when you're born with a filthy heart and corrupt nature. And if it looks down your throat and it's full of snakes, and your feet are swift to shed blood, and you weren't righteous, and you didn't seek God, and didn't seek good, and you wasn't good, and you went about speaking lies and hypocrisy while you're still in your mother's womb, boy, you are dirty, low, down, filthy ass. And Bible says that you are dumb, that you are dumb, that you receive it not the things of God, the foolishness. Now whatever conception you had about how to save is wrong. Just whatever you said, that's wrong. Because every unsaved fellow, he said, I know how to save, don't know how to save than a monk. He said wrong. He said wrong. Now just think about it in your life. Boy, you are a low down out. And the Bible says that you hated God's law. And if you were not subject to it. And the Bible didn't say you were that enmity, but says you are enmity. You are a natural born enemy of God. And wouldn't it be wonderful, God, to get you lost and save that dirty ass his life? Woo! Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful? Now, I got good news for you. God gets the people he sent out to save lost, and when he gets them from lost, he saves them. I've been going up down there for a long time, and I've proved it everywhere I go. And if you don't hear it, I say, lift up your hand. Everybody lift up the hand. And then we all get with that lost. You know what I'm talking about. Thank you.
when I if I didn't want to go to hell, somebody told them all I had to do was accept Jesus. So they walked down the hand and took the preacher's hand. All they did was accept the preacher's hand. Somebody said, well, I don't want to go to hell. The preacher said, well, let's get down here on our knees and ask God to pray for us. That Almighty begins to wither a fellow down. Boy, I bet he had a job of you. Woo! I think I can close with this illustration. We'll bring it up tomorrow night. This quick. You believe God saves lost people? Yeah. If you don't, you got to get you down to the heart and find out what kind of people he is. Do you believe God gets a man to come lost before he saves him, so that if he did save him, God would get the glory, not man? You think God's going to let anybody in heaven with a bag on themselves? All the praise is going to be of the Lord, isn't it right? Don't you know if God lets you have this pain in the big heart, in your salvation, you buy it all over God in heaven? Don't you know if you tell me the truth, if you got saved for something you did, if you buy it all over heaven, that's what you did, if you're saved. You can't even do a nice little deed without telling everybody you want somebody to brag on you, don't you? I can't do it. But there ain't gonna be nobody bragging on nobody. Let the Lord do it. We're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves. God even gives us the faith. Because we have what I said, we pray about it. Lest any man should go. And Jonathan Edwards, the greatest preacher America's ever produced, preached the funeral of David Brainerd, the father of modern nations. He killed himself at the age of 29, evangelizing the heathen Indians in northern part of New York State. You young people ought to claim to the Christian to put action like this. You better read the True Story magazine and a lot of junk, listen to all the deep music and that stuff. Mix a little real reading in. Instead of buying some of the junk for reading today, some of you old folks. I'm talking to people here now who drive big cars and haven't got a good book in your home. Buy David Brainerd's diary and journal. Buy something that'll help you. Put some meat on your bones. Give you some fellowship. Make you smell a little like the fragrance of Jesus. And David Brainerd ministered to those Indians and died at 29. In his journal, Mr. Brainerd, when the God led him preach the funeral, he made this statement. Any conception of the gospel of God that'll give to Christ's church a David Brainerd once every 100 years is where they are studying. Oh, I get down this country, I'm not popsicle, I talk about what's the matter with us. I just talk about people calling the dirty low down out of it. Well, what's so mad at me? Well, God says you are wicked man. That isn't what I said about. He said, now I wasn't wicked. He told me about you, and that wasn't one of the wicked maggots. You had been wicked maggots and sausage and old carpets of the dead south. God says, Harvey, you are a wicked little maggot. He's bragging on you. Huh? Won't stick your club and knock the devil out of God, huh? That's what he says now. Oh, you don't keep back there. God says, you're a wicked little maggot. Of course, Mama says he's the sweetest little thing out of hell. God says you're a wicked man. That's right. And
I go down country, and I demand to be heard, because this is one thing I know.
It is that this generation church members aren't living practical, holy lives. And you claim to be saved and haven't led you to practical day-by-day holy obedience to Christ. You missed it, my friend. If you don't know Christ, good people, holy people. I don't mean they're a bunch of Pharisees bragging about some of the things they don't do. They're a bunch of people that don't see you for Christ. They ain't proud and saying that they don't do this, they don't do that. But they feel that and stay around them with the fragrance of the praise of Jesus. Best thing I know to do is get to talk about the Lord. The bag on the Lord. Yeah. Oh, this generation says, remember, six, tell me about all the things they don't do and all the good things they do and just talk about the Lord. I was thinking in the city, what you do. What you don't do. But oh, tell me about you. I'll let you about you. I thought it was that faith. Just got it the Lord and the way for it. You just quit doing personal work. You just got it to God. You just quit trying to win me and just the faith and just talk about the Lord. Holy Spirit will be the winner. I look at people in the face now and say, what have been preaching for the last 50 years? You think it's turned out 50 years? I know. You need some basic brain. The basic brain has told about four things that made him fight and spit and mad before God's face. And I want to give them to you tonight. David said it made him awful mad when he came to see the strictness of God's holy law, the strictness of it. And you know, unless you keep God's holy law perfectly, or have such to keep for you, you'll be sent there. You know that, sir? Even you or your substitute that perfectly obey God's law. You know what I mean? And it's not a mistake. It's not a mistake. You know, I said to David, God said to you, by no means put it away.
Yes.
You know, I said to David, look inside your heart. It judges your motives.
That's right.
Old Paul said he took it till he found out what it was. Until he said, found out it was spiritual and looked inside. And when he said he found that out, they killed it. There ain't no. And old David said, you know, he got studying God's law and said, man, why he was tearing all over the world, how sick God is. Woo! I was in the army, old Roman Catholic preacher, Master Pierce said, Barnett, you crazy fool, I ain't thought there's a man can't have women and dudes, life's not worth living. Well, that's this generation, I thought, preacher, don't you want me to have no power? And the man that God, so to have a little conception of the strictness of the law. But God Almighty will send everybody in this room this preacher to hell for he'll see his law one jot part to them. The second thing that God used to get old David bring his law, he showed him the strictness of his law, and David rebelled against the God too strict. And then the second thing that God used, and he still does this for sinners. He'll hem you up and put you under the law. Kind of read, yeah. They'll tell you how, when you kind of got under the little conviction, you didn't much want to go to hell. You know, got a little faith you're going to go to hell. So you got God put you under the law and he began to reform. Then you quit this, quit that, arrest this. God put you under the law and he arrests you. He puts you in the hands of the law. So you reform. You quit this, you quit that. Because you don't stay quick. Then you quit for a while. And you find out it's a strict order. Oh, how strict God is. And the reason is all it is that you hate God's law. Then as you put down the law, old David's brain is found out, watch it, that God requires faith. that he had no ability to produce. Isn't that something awful, though? For God to require that you believe on this son, they don't, you're going to go on to hell, and yet you can't save it. Now, brother, this generation may have heard that faith of scripture. Why, I'd have to have personal words and statements in my presence for old sinners. Now, all we got to do is believe in Jesus. Why, there was a way of that's all man can do. You don't have to do that. But that's the only thing that it can do. And yet it can't do it. Does God require? Ain't that meaning of God to require that unless you repent and believe, you're going on the hill, unless you can't, either repent. Nobody can find out that the Bible teaches God requires it. And then he found out that the Bible thought that he couldn't spell, and he found out the time. Anybody else says, what's going to be wrong? A sinner can't repent. You get stuck. How would you get a dollar to repent? How dollar money salaries even $500 if you repent? Well, I know you can quit drinking whiskey and sucking cigarettes and going to fix the women and cussing and a few of those things. But that whole thing don't amount to nothing. They get little. And you too. That ain't your trouble, brother. Trouble is you've got a heart that's rotten in the Savior. Trouble is your own nature is God. And repentance ain't being sorry you got drunk. Repentance is crucifying yourself and going all out after God. Listen to me now. If you could quit some of your habits, but you can't give yourself a new heart. You can clean up the outside world, but you can't clean the inside. Oh, you say the fire is telling your story. Just a minute. The story you find out that God requires that you take understand it to him and lay hold of it for the living faith and the joy to him. You're going on there. And then you find out you can't do either one of them. The thing it may be that you give up crying and go to crying, oh God, have mercy on me and fix me before I can get to your side.
The sinner you find out in your mind that you can't find Jesus until Jesus has sent it open to your eyes.
The sinner you find
out you're dead.
And a dead man can't raise his head. The sinner may quit crying and just go to listen. I do not care. So David Brainerd found out that God was kind of faith and he couldn't believe it. The third thing that made David Brainerd mad was that he found out the Bible taught that God could give him faith or withhold the time. You ever heard of that? Faith God will. He can give it to you or withhold. To give it to you, our hope. And if you know it, get over it. So we got faith. Remember? God can give you faith or the hope. It's sovereign. But I know that ain't what this generation can think, but that's true. Don't you put your faith in Jesus, what's up with your faith? What good will it be for you to put your trust in this? Now, just what good would that be? There's no sin. Your faith is sin for anything you do sin. Now, that's what the wicked do. You don't have to do it. And they find out how the people of God can give it to their soul. And then they find out one last thing. They find out God could save them again. There you are in the next year of this. And God requires you to have faith in you to receive it. You can't get it. But God can give it to you or withhold it. And God can save you. I'm not going to have a station last night, no question. You ain't got souls, Sonny. You ain't on probation. You're under God's blessing. You've done been tried. Thank you. And the soul, your present soul is lost. And if you don't get out of that, you're going to live. If you can get out in no sense that you have left peace, I started to say, we'll get to know me a bit. I didn't know.